Hey, this is Rob.
Excellent work.
Guys, games, and beer.
Back at Game Hole Con 2019 with Larry and Ryan. And, you know, art. The thing that decorates our walls and makes our role-playing books a little less boring. Yeah, art. It makes us better. But for breakfast, we're here with...
Dan Cakes.
We are Dan Cakes.
And what do you do?
So, Dan Cakes, we are the world's first professional pancake art company. And we travel around the world making images into pancake batter.
Yes. Fully edible pieces of art.
Did you guys have one that you got earlier?
We do.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good... So, right. So, what we do is we make designs like this. We mix all of our batter into these squeeze bottles, and then we draw it right on the griddle. And you can basically make any picture you can think of. Our rule is as long as it doesn't get us in trouble.
Yeah, please be right? G-rated, depending, but also, you know, non-hateful.
Context sensitive.
Yeah.
So how long have you guys been doing this?
I've been dabbling in the medium of pancake art for close to a decade now. And I got started as a fry cook at a diner in South St. Louis.
So you were bored.
I was trying to make better tips, you know?
And
like,
broke.
Like parlor trick. So the company itself, Dan Cakes, came to be about, it'll be 6 years in January that we've been doing it professionally. How long have you been with us? You've been two and a half?
Found me 3 years ago trying this for fun, at which point you said, hey, you're pretty good at this. Do you want a job interview? And then about 6 months after that, I started full time.
Yeah.
So it's been about 2.5 years.
So now do you, are you guys like... trained in art, or is it
hilariously
just a passion?
Not so, yeah. Just very much your story is most relevant to start.
Okay.
With.
I doodled a lot in school. I didn't, but so my grades were really bad because I was doing that instead of my homework. And when I got out of high school, I didn't really have a direction for my life to go, so I was still just kind of doodling, but with pancake batter. First time I ever did a smiley face pancake, I got $15 in tips, and I thought, okay, I'll keep doing that. But not professionally trained anyway. It's just a matter of just slam your head against the griddle enough, make enough bad pancakes, and then eventually it's like, oh, that's good. Kind of looks like that person.
Well, and you were using those big, clunky, like, batter vats. You know, we use bottles nowadays, but you are really rudimentary. Fast. In the back of a busy diner, trying your best, just for better tips. And with me, they found me actually at a high school. So this was 3 years ago. And you guys found me. I was trying it for fun. I saw one of your videos that we use as our advertising. And I said, that's amazing. I need to try that immediately. And
You're actually more,
well, yes.
You draw a lot.
I draw a lot.
You draw a lot.
I guess the reason I answer your question like that is because no one in our company, minus one artist that we hired more recently than not, none of us have an art background. None of us have a culinary background. Like, you and I didn't even go to college. So, yeah, it was very much a 10,000 terrible pancakes until they're 10,000 okay pancakes, so on and so forth.
Why go to college when you could join the pancake circus?
So I do have a chance because my daughter loves on Saturday morning certain days she will ask me to do pancakes for her, and I'm really good at snowman, Mickey Mouse, stick person, cat or dog.
The
or,
classics.
Yeah.
I'm good at crumpled up something.
Miss the frying
pan. Yeah. No, it's really interesting. You're able to go from, you know, like the dabbling of, you know, like something, and then like to get more intricate. Some of the other designs that you guys have done are very intricate, and even at the show I saw a few of them, and they're very neat designs. So
a lot of the, like, the I saw you showing those to the camera, those are some of our like sticker designs. So when we perform live at events, we have a much simpler palette. a lot of the pancakes on the that are there, we actually make in a we have a studio where we film YouTube videos back in St. Louis where we're based. And so some of those pancakes, those will take 45 to an hour and a half, you know, like those will take us a long time. We'll mix a ton of colors in advance. It's all in temperature control. Obviously, you know, when we're at a live event, people want food. So you're not going to sit there for an hour and a half and draw like, oh, it's going to look so good, but I'm only going to make one of them today. So we make a much simpler palette where we can make them in 3 to 5 minutes. But those ones we were really kind of cutting loose and showing off.
Well, and it's like that one I made you, that was like, what, 5 minutes? You know, it was just the circle and then write the words and fill it in. You cut corners to make it, you know, doable at an event.
I was wondering about it. So temperature control. So, I mean, where do you keep the griddle at?
So when we're doing a live event, we keep it set at around between 200 and 250 degrees. If you're making regular pancakes, normally you're cooking closer to 350 or 400. But that extra, that window gives us a lot of time to get details and stuff. So when we're doing a live event, we'll do about 200, 250 degrees. When we do those fancy, really intricate ones, the griddle's almost off. Like, I'll give it like a little bit of residual heat just to solidify the lines as I go, but we won't cook it until it's done, like the drawing's completely finished. And then we will never cook it hotter than 250 degrees, because no matter what color you put in the batter, it all turns the same shade of brown.
Yeah, we want to preserve those colors. Basically, what you have besides the dye we put in the batter is a very, very pale pancake. Mm-hmm. You know, it maintains that color of the batter almost. And that's what we want, because I've made pancakes before that cook way more brown, and then all my color choices are just gone.
Yeah,
and
the contrast goes out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that a special batter then, or just... No.
It's usually it's a just add water mix.
Yes.
We travel so much that and I've experimented. We've all experimented with some other different recipes. Like, we've done vegan and gluten free, and we've done, you know, every now and then somebody wants that for their party, and sometimes it's just interesting to try different ingredients and see how they cook. But when we're traveling, it really doesn't make sense for us to bring, you know, we're not gonna bring like a dozen eggs with us and stuff. Like, we're gonna show up.
That would be a nightmare.
We're gonna take out a big old bag of powder and put some water in it and mix it.
Yeah. And ironically, that's what works the best, because you put eggs in it and it burns in 2 seconds. It just
might add to the show.
Yeah.
Juggling eggs.
Watch two pancake clowns perform terribly just for an hour.
Pancake clowns. We'd have to do the batter on our faces.
We don't have to, but I guess you want to.
Well, now so I do, good. Yeah. It's going to be the Joker sequel.
Okay.
So how have you been received at different events like this?
It is, sometimes I feel like we found a cheat code for life.
Yeah. This is kind of crazy popular, you know? Like, and I don't mean that in like a prideful way. I just mean like we set up at some events and we'll have an immediate line to the back of the room, you know? Like 100, like 50, 100 people at some college events and stuff we do.
Well, and it just gets crazy. It does help that when, like, one of the most common comments we get from people is, oh, it's so pretty, I don't even want to eat it. And so what they'll do, we'll be working at like a trade show, right? And nobody knows we're over there, we haven't advertised or anything, it's just we're there, and we make a pancake for somebody, they love it, they don't eat it, what they do is they walk around, and they're just like, yeah. Dude, look at this, well, over there, it's go get your face.
And one thing I don't think we've mentioned yet is that our biggest request is portraits.
Yeah.
So like people walking up and saying, hey, make my face, I'll pose for a picture, and then in 5 minutes I want my face pancake, as you do. And I'll make that, and then people will walk around and be like, this is me, or this is my grandma, or this is my boyfriend. And people will be like, is that you? That's not edible. And they're like, it is edible.
It's totally edible.
Ear off. I couldn't do anymore because I got attached.
We're the only service where you can acceptably cover yourself in syrup in public.
And consume your own face without going to the hospital.
So where all have you done these events?
We have been all over the world.
Everywhere.
We've been as far as, I mean, that's the thing about social media is that like the YouTube videos and stuff that we make, if one of them pops off and goes viral and you get like 20 million views on it, which happens every now and then, especially back when we first started and it wasn't as
the
commonly known.
The novelty was fresh.
People find out about you everywhere. So we've been to Sao Paulo, Brazil. We've been to Bangkok. We've been to, last year I was in Singapore for a couple weeks, Dubai. Y'all have done events. I didn't get to go, but y'all have done events in London a couple times.
Yeah, and then, you know, not even with international countries. Like, we'll do those occasionally, which are great, but then we're going all over the country all the time.
Yeah.
I was in Austin 5 days ago, then Chicago, then here, and then before Austin I was in somewhere, like Seattle. And that was it. And that's like a week and a half. So full-time travel is our gig.
A lot of it is like colleges and universities and stuff like that.
So I think we forgot one part. So when you're not traveling around, where do people actually find the videos and what, you know, like the link to the Facebook or the YouTubes?
Our website is pretty easy to remember. It's just dancakes.com. It's a pancake pun. Some people don't get that. We've done events where people are like, oh, Dan's Cakes. And they're like, no, guys, it's pancakes with a D.
I think we probably said this, but you're Dan, so it's Dan Cakes. Yeah. And then what's hilarious is I was the third artist we brought on, and I was the first girl we brought on. My name is Dana, yeah. D-A-N-A. And then our second artist, the guy you guys hired next.
His name's Ben, but his last name's Daniel. So
Dan Cakes. it works.
We got a trend going on. But yeah, so dancakes.com is the website, and then all of our, if you look up Dan Cakes on most social media platforms, you can find us, our YouTube and all that stuff. The handle is actually at Dr. Dan Cake, D-R-D-A-N-C-A-K-E, no S at the end, because that's like my high school nickname was Dr. Dan for completely unrelated reasons, and then when I started doing pancakes, people started to call me Dr. Dan the Pancake Man, so Dr. Dan Cake, that's not a real doctor, can't help you with your medical problems, make a mean pancake.
Yeah.
Oh, super fun. Now, all right, as long as you're talking pancakes now, pure maple syrup.
This part for us is kind of an afterthought.
I prefer honey on my pancakes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because I'm a little odd, but
I like
yeah.
Syrup.
Syrup's great, and we travel with syrup. Syrup's the go-to. Everybody loves it. But you know,
I guess the reason I said that it's kind of an afterthought is that a lot of people get so attached that we will bring, you know, a thing this tall of syrup to a total 6-8 hour event and no one will use it because they'll be like, I was gonna eat this, but and
it
so
looks too much
sometimes
like my dog.
We forget syrup and we don't even mention it because no one asks because they know it's edible and they're like, I'm so excited to eat this, and they walk off like starstruck, like I can't. Because you make your dog, you can't eat your dog comfortably if you're,
you can. I've seen people do
We've got a lot of eating face jokes.
Before the interview, I think Larry's like, well, who's going to eat the pancakes? And I'm like, well, shouldn't we at least keep it around before...
That was a good call. That was a good call.
So, we did this, yeah.
You know, like if somebody would have ate it, then it wouldn't have had anything to show, so...
We could have ate part of it.
Part of it? Yeah.
We just kind of had it cut off.
That's what people do,
I think
typically.
I have no issue eating the pancake.
Yeah, we'll finish it up.
It'll be gone.
We like that. We like that, for real. You know? Life's short. So. Eat the pancake.
Life's short. Eat the pancake.
Have you heard of anybody, like, permanentifying one of your pancakes?
We have. We've figured out a way to do it, actually. Because, again, another one of the big comments, so people don't want to eat it. People ask, is there a way to preserve it?
Normally
we have to tell folks that, like, you know, if I'm making a pancake here, the best you can do is stick it in the freezer, you know? And you can keep it in the freezer for a long time. I did an event for a church once, and a woman got Pope Francis. And then I did a follow, they loved us, so they brought us back the next year. And right as I was setting up, that woman came up to me and was like, I still have Pope Francis in my freezer. And I was like, hey, man, wasn't expecting to hear that in my life.
That happens weirdly often. We have gone to cons, and they'll be like, look, I brought this cooler just for this purpose. Check it out. It's this anime girl you
remember,
made me.
You remember
it's
that?
Like, oh,
but because
what do you
we've,
do with it?
Because we've gotten that comment so often, we spent some time and actually, like, figured out a way that we could sort of consistently preserve them.
Finally.
And we have, there's a couple pancakes we've actually, you have to dehydrate them. And then you have to seal them, and then we sink them into a frame with resin. And yeah, you can. As far as we know, they last forever.
Well, so
I guess in 5 years' time, we'll be like, yeah, it turned green, but I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
The funny thing too is that you were showing those stickers. That Joker, which is one of Dan's best, was the first, and this was only 3 weeks ago or two, a month ago or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, wasn't that long ago.
We put that in a frame, dipped it in resin. It was perfectly preserved, and we actually sold that to someone who will hang
first
that
piece of art I've ever sold.
First piece of preserved pancake art, and it's sold in like a few days, and it's someone who's going to put that on their wall.
It was a very cool
and
feeling.
And if that isn't, yeah.
Salvador Dali.
Yeah, for sure.
Jeez, I hope not.
Like, we have a huge sense of humor with this stuff. I'm just like, that is so stupid. And I mean that in the best way. I'm like, this is the stupidest art you can put on your wall. I want 10. You know, it's like, and people are like, no, this isn't a weird job at all. And I'm like, it's pancakes you put on your wall that look like Walking Phoenix. You know? It's just, it's ridiculous.
So this is the one time you could say I got a bunch of heads in my freezer.
Yes.
Just sitting there, you know. Come on over anytime. We could take a look at them.
Check out my heads in the freezer.
Dang it. We put heads in the freezer. We got so many new slogans
now. Yeah. So it sounds like I'm getting this, but do you think the kids or adults get more excited about you?
That's an excellent question. Kids like it. Adults freak out.
Yeah.
Kids are like, oh, make me this Pokemon and we'll make it for them. Like, cool. And then they eat it. But adults, they're like, can you make my husband? And it's like, what? Yeah, definitely adults. I think it's, you know, kids, everything's new. I think probably the most rewarding people, we've done events at senior living facilities and stuff like that. It's a really cool feeling to be able to like show somebody who's 100 years old something they've never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, they've been around for a long time and they're like, what? You know, it's a really cool feeling.
Well, those are the best reactions because it's like, you know, with kids, you know, you kind of said, oh, you give it to a kid and they're like, cool. My experience is typically the parents are like, look at this. And the kid's like, my mom could have made that faster. That's fine.
I'm not eating a pancake right now.
Right. But the context makes it special. So the old folks' homes and stuff, and even just like older people, they're like, what? Like, okay, that exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's cool. It's very rewarding. It's rewarding to like surprise people.
Yeah.
I just like.
But do you have anything else? Well.
So you're saying the kids who want something really fast are like, can I have a beach ball or basketball? I really love just some kind of ball, brown ball, red, blue.
Pancake shaped.
Yeah. Moon.
Well, as best I understand it, I think it's not going to be any faster. The griddle's not any warmer.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what's on it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're basically right. I mean, obviously, drawing details will take more time. But, yeah, either way, it's cooking the whole time, so it's like...
Wow, this has been a lot of fun having you guys on. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we go?
I mean, I was just going to say thank you for having us on. I mean, I'm really... It's cool that you guys wanted us to talk about this, because it's fun to talk about, you know? Like, people ask me all the time, so what do? And I'll say, pancake art. And they'll say, oh, that's funny, I thought you said pancake art. And then I'm like, let me get my phone. I get the picture for him and I show them, and then there's always 15 minutes of questions. There's always a dialogue about it. So like, we like talking about this stuff, you know.
It opens a lot of doors.
I would say
if there's anything I'd like to say before we go, I would just like folks that are watching this to know that within the next couple of months we're releasing a pancake art product line. It's like a pancake art griddle, specially designed. It's got a special surface and heating element, all that stuff. It's got bottles and spatulas, and we're going to be doing sort of like Bob Ross-style follow-along tutorials on our YouTube.
Excited about it.
Yeah, we've been working on it for a couple of years.
Long anticipated.
Yeah, just keep an eye out, because a lot of people want to get their hands on it and try it out for themselves, and it's a lot of fun.
And
so,
I guess my last piece is, if you want to try pancake art, if it interests you at all, do it. It is so much fun. The reason you guys found me is because I was trying it for fun, and I have taught classes. We teach classes is one of the things we do. I have been in rooms with 40 college kids, and I say, who here's an artist? Not a single hand goes up, and they all blow me away. I am not exaggerating. I'm not sugarcoating that. They do great, because it's really fun, and it's really simple at the end of the day if you're doing simple stuff.
When we teach people, we are very quick to tell them that our company motto, our official company motto, is mistakes are delicious. We all got good at pancake art just by not being afraid to mess up.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, there's nothing worse than like spending 50 minutes trying to draw Jamie Lannister, and you flip it over and he's cross-eyed and you're like...
Real story. It cracks me up every time.
Really happened. But yeah, you know, if you embrace your mistakes, eventually you'll get good at anything. So as long as it's not like skydiving, I guess, you know, like...
So if they wanted more information on that griddle package, where do they find that?
We are going to, if you follow us on social media, follow Dan Cakes on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. And if you check out our website, we actually have a mailing list that you can sign up for, where as soon as we have like actual release date for this, we'll send a mass email out so everybody can be, you know, the first to get it.
We will link their site with this video also. So.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for information. You know, I might have to upgrade my skills, you know, past snowman. in the near future. So
it's the future.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. My daughter might be excited about something I might be doing in the near future here. So
awesome.
Thanks a lot. We have Dan Kicks on with us for Guys, Games, and Beer. We're here at Game Hole Con 2019. So thank you for coming on the show, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah,
thanks, guys. So this is Brian with Guys, Games, and Beer, and with my co-host Larry, the Steadfast. We are here tonight with the Eclectic Media Project, Al and Chad.
No, actually, it's Scott.
I'm so sorry.
Well,
Scott and Chad.
How about we do it this way? And we are with...
Well, look at that.
Wow, what a handoff. Scott Ahern.
And Chad Knight.
From Eclectic Media Project.
That's us.
That is.
And what is that?
That's a really good question. Essentially, we're kind of like an everybody come play place. We do our stuff, but we're also there for anybody who wants to get started and just let us know, send us your stuff, and we'll put it up.
Like, what kind of stuff? I mean,
Well, we do podcasting. We do we have an artist gallery. We have a corner for people who write fan fiction and other wordy things.
Day job for me is I'm a high school English teacher, and one of the aspects of the site that I'm working on is actually lesson plans and materials for new teachers starting out. Because I always teach a unit using gaming for creative writing and things like that for kids who think, oh, I can't write, I'm not creative. And then this gives something for the teachers who may not themselves be into gaming to be able to latch onto and say, well, here, try this.
Okay, so kind of a repository for all the other things. So, like, you know, there's YouTube and there's and there's that... necessarily a place for a lesson plan or a teacher lesson plan or maybe some fan fiction or something that's just unrelated to anything else. So
yeah, we like to think of ourselves as a hub, a place that you can go to get your stuff out there. The only, you know, we are kind of family centric. Scott and I are both parents. So we're not going to do fan fiction that's erotic, but aside from that, write about anything you want, anything that you find interesting. We have a submissions page on the website. You submit it to us, and usually within a week, it's up and going.
Same thing with the art. We want the art to be something that we wouldn't mind our kids seeing over our shoulder while we're working on it at the kitchen table.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Now, what about music? You know, there's a couple references to
it. Yeah, so I see a program here entitled Musically Challenged, and you're one of the hosts of that. So I'm a musician, want to hear something interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that?
Sure. Want to hear something interesting is the one that Chad and I share. And that's once a month, and we have a rotation that we do with it. So month one, we talk about something gaming related. Month two, we go into a more historical topic that one of us suggests and the other one doesn't hate. And then month three, we do more of a current event topic, again, that one of us suggests and the other one doesn't hate, and then we go back to gaming. With Musically Challenged, Chad and our other buddy, Al...
Well, we talk about music. I mean, I am musically challenged. I always, as a kid, I wanted to be a rock star. I can't play a lick, and I don't sing very well either.
Brian is a rock star.
Well, good. But what we do is we take, and I guess there's two incarnations of that, because I'm on my second co-host.
All right.
The first one, what we did is we would take a topic, a theme, or whatever for the week, and we were weekly, which made it really hard. But we would take a theme, and we would just riff on that. We would find 10 songs, and we'd talk about them. We use the fair listening guidelines, so we just play a piece of music.
Okay.
Do you have a specific criteria for the music you choose to for your program?
Usually it depends on what that episode's theme is.
Okay.
Sometimes it's agreed upon by the co-hosts. Sometimes it's submitted by listeners. Okay. We've had, I know, I've guested on it a couple of times and I've suggested the playlist. We have some other regular listeners who've sent in their lists. Other episodes have been one-word titles or titles that are women's names or titles that are men's names or titles with love in the title or okay. all sorts of things like
right.
that.
Right, and we found out that doing episodes like Black Songs can be a little touchy, even though it's just songs with black in the title, but if you don't put it out there right, you know. But that was the original incarnation of it, and now that Al has joined the group and my other co-host has decided to move on to other things, we want to look more at what is music. You know, how can we push the boundaries of music, and what can we consider music that somebody else might not? Like, my big thing right now is, are MIDI files music? You know, or things like that. So we're trying something a little different.
You know, so like that's one of the things that now we've talked about on our show, or chiptunes. You know, so using music that's, you know, generated from the computer.
Right.
You know,
and we try to do other things like Scott and I are from further up north. I'm from Wausau. He's from Stevens Point. I like to go out and see what bands are around. You know, and work with bands. We've done that a couple times now. It's a lot of fun, but, you know, so it's that kind of thing. So it's just now become something where we're like, what is music? What, you know, instead of looking at 10 different songs, we look at a concept album, or we're going to look at, you know, soundtracks, that kind of thing.
So it's kind of delving into a philosophical discussion about music. In terms of what is music, what defines music, what then by de facto what isn't music? Does any of that discussion lead back to gaming, or is this kind of a separate offshoot?
Everything leads back to gaming. We are gamers first and foremost, but yeah, we talk. It's always like, well, this reminds me of, you know, this game we did, or Scott and I will talk about gaming in the middle of a podcast about who knows what. You know, I think we did about the Civil War game, brought us back to gaming at some point. And
revenge.
Well, you know, and it's
wait, that probably wouldn't make it on your show.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where Scott and I'll sit and talk about a topic, but you know, you may say, well, you do a gaming episode every 3 months, why don't you just do gaming? Because everybody just does gaming. So we were looking for something that kind of set us apart from everybody else. And we still get our gaming fix every once in a while. So,
by the way, I'm going to have to throw out that...
Oh, you're going to do this?
The official heavy metal band of the show is Lords of the Trident out of Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And Brian is one of the lead guitars in that band. And so you might want to check them out.
Yeah, I'll hook you up with details and stuff after the interview, but it's fantasy based power metal with costumes and stage names. Many of our songs are about or influenced by video games, and we're all nerds at heart. So we should be in touch.
Absolutely.
Now, does your music tend more to the instrumental, or do you have lyrics as well?
We are almost entirely, we don't have any instrumentals. Everything has singing on it. And there's no growling. It's all classic 80s stuff in the style of Dio, Halford, Bruce Dickinson.
Okay.
And double. Yeah.
Vocals.
Our singer Fang did literally shatter a wine glass with his voice. He did it. And he has the YouTube video to prove it. Even
okay.
It's 80s style traditional heavy metal, double kicking, harmonized lead guitars, high tenor singing, but with twists circa 2019 as well. So
okay.
So. Yeah, we'll definitely have to we'll definitely have to talk after this.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I ask about the instrumental is I teach a class on film adaptations of literature, and one of my big pushes is the concept of diegetic versus non-diegetic music in film and video games, where you have the diegetic material, which is on film, it's the stuff that the characters hear and react to.
I see, yeah.
And the non-diegetic is usually the score, which earns an Academy Award every year and is really the way for the director to talk right to the audience, and it advances the mood, advances the plot, and especially if you have, like, say you have a contemporary noir like 2002's Minority Report. It's very dark, the imagery is very dark, the music is very dark, and the dialogue is incredibly sparse. And I tend to find it, especially lately, I'm more drawn to music that's a little sparser in the lyrics and has a little bit more oomph in the instrumental.
Interesting. All right. And thank you for defining those terms for our listeners.
Yeah. Sorry. That was really techie.
No, but it's good. As a music nerd, I love techie.
And I have a background in theater and musical theater and working with
excellent
community theater groups and performances and things like that. So
very good.
I often call him Fancy Teacher Boy.
A fitting name.
Wow, this is an exciting website. So what is that? Where can they find this again?
It is www.eclecticmediaproject.com.
Our email address is eclecticmediaproject@gmail.com.
And if you want to check out our podcast, they are at eclecticmediaproject.podbean.com.
Also, check them out on Facebook, our Facebook pages.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And you're just open for submissions, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a completely free service. So send us your stuff. We have a submissions page on our website. Send us your stuff. Like I said, usually within a week or so, we get to review it and get it out there. So, and we take none of the credit. It's your thing. The only caveat to that, I guess, would be on podcast, we'll add our runner at the end of it. That's about it.
Brian, you got anything else?
Well, this is great. This sounds super interesting, and I can't wait to look into this. So, one-stop shop for music, writing, art, yeah, and all things tying in with an overarching theme of gaming. This sounds wonderful. I can't wait to check it out. Anything else you would like to add before we wrap here?
I'm good.
Nope. Thanks for having us on.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight. And
thanks for the beer.
You are most welcome. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Cheers.
All right.
We absolutely can swear because this is Guys, Games, and Beer live from Gamehole Con, and I'm here with...
Glitter and the Glitter Gang.
That's Glitter and the Glitter Gang. Say it right.
And I'm here, Rob. Rob, I'm here too.
Hey, Larry's over here too.
How's it going?
And we also have
Dallas.
I'm Glitter, and this is my Glitter Gang.
Dallas.
Rob, they're the Glitter Gang.
Yay!
I'm Baronet Bob. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Silver's Crossing. Oh, you're a really nice person.
Thanks.
Look at all these friends I made.
Why'd they ask us here?
Wait, they asked us here?
Why'd they ask us here?
What is this?
What? Yeah, why didn't we? Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Reel this back in.
Since when?
It's
a forbidden
spaghetti. Not everything that fits in your mouth is food.
This is forbidden spaghetti.
They don't like it when you do that.
Okay. All right. So, what are you guys doing here at the con?
Well, we've been doing...
I got lost.
We've been doing a lot of blood magic and rituals, and we've been cutting open innocent people and harvesting their organs.
Wait, what?
That sounds like a solid plan.
By the way, Lair, I haven't seen Tom in a while. Have you?
No. Oh, I'm not concerned. Mm.
Have you ever played Skullball?
No, but I think I got a thing to do.
Okay, you come back, bring a skull when you come back.
Oh, yeah, all right. Well, I can do that.
All right.
That makes sense.
Do you have questions for us?
No, I think we're just going to go talking. Back and forth with each other.
I'll just keep talking.
We will just keep talking if y'all don't stop us, so that's really up to you what y'all want
to
do.
I think that's a pretty fair thing to do, but why don't you tell us about what you do, other than cutting people open.
Okay, I'll start when I was a child. My parents birthed me. I lived in the underdark. They did. My name was Eric Hayes Silverweb, but my parents just don't understand me. They know that, you know, they do things like cutting people open and taking their blood. I like baking, so my name's Glitter now.
I was interested in why the Glitter name. How did the moniker come?
Because Eric Hayes Silverweb is just such a lame name, my parents don't understand me, so I figured Glitter really, it showcases what I feel in my soul.
Well, what about the rest of you? I mean, you know, that clearly applies to him, but...
Well, my name's Lil. I am from Maryland. I born and raised in the swamps. Well, formed and raised in the swamps. Listen, Faye don't really do the whole birthing thing. It's complicated. So...
Is there an egg involved?
Depends on the Faye. Not me. I think I might have come from a bit of moss, I'm not really sure. But I do a lot of alchemy, a lot of poisons, a lot of potions. You know, just the usual stuff.
Pretty normal.
Yeah. Just everyday science stuff. It's fine. It's fine. Just be careful what you drink around me.
Wait, what?
That means no bud.
Don't worry about
that. My name is Laufey. I am with Pack Elk Walker, and we welcome all those into the fold, really, and all that we wish to do is to deconstruct what it means to be a pack and truly and cooperatively live together and, you know, just take whatever we want from whoever we want.
That's boring. Sometimes we also hit people.
Hi, I'm Baron Echelbob.
Ron, this way.
What?
That way.
Hi.
You walk into this one, you drink this one. Do it at the same time.
I really would not put that mic near my mouth. Wait, I just did.
Were you by any chance hit by lightning?
What's lightning? I don't remember.
That sounded like a Mordok fight over there. Or another Olven fight. I'm not sure which.
So we're here with a group. Two groups, actually. One called Last Hope Live Action Roleplay, and the other one called Midlands of Arcos, another live action roleplay. Sometimes I feel the need to say serious things so I can talk more about the not serious things. On that note, I like baking. Scones are my favorite ones to make.
We have staff members from here. From.
I also like muffins. No.
Oh, we can. Okay. Yeah. Hi. I'm a Baron from Silver's Crossing. I do Baron things. Rival.
No, we're good friends. We're good friends. Everyone can be part of Glitter's gang. I don't care what group they're part of.
So, no, Last Hope LARP and Midland of Arcos LARP are two sister LARPs that have built a community of players together. A lot of our players cross game between our two systems. Our staff are all friends. We really promote LARP in general and just trying to find the community that's right for you and the system that's right for you. So
yeah, both... So Laufey actually started as a character in Last Hope LARP, and then she brought her over to Midland Arcos, where both me, Glitter, and now Laufey all hang out.
And bake scones and muffins, every now and then a bagel, but bagels are harder because you have to twist them, and I'm not a big fan of bagels because they're not sweet unless they have raisins and cinnamon in them.
And we do blood magic.
And we do blood magic, and sometimes you put blood in a bagel and it's a better bagel.
Wait, what?
Are there any donuts?
Well,
only blood donuts.
Between the two groups, is there a different world?
Yes, there's two different worlds. Both have a unique story.
You're stabbing me in my man parts. Stop it.
No.
I can help with that.
Talk about the stories.
Stabbing in man parts. Here on Guys, Games, and Beer.
So, yes, there is not a cooperative story, but players and staff from both groups participate in the stories that of each group.
Which groups are like, where are you out of?
I can do that part. I'm good at the talking part. Midlands of Arcos. Midlands of Arcos is located out of Cambridge, Wisconsin. They have five to six events a year. They have practices weekly on Thursdays in Cambridge. Last Hope LARP, we are centered out of Baraboo. We have land in New Lisbon that's just used for LARPing. We have events every month, once a month, and we have practices weekly. We have a practice every Wednesday in Baraboo, and we have a practice every Tuesday in Wausau. And
did you mention our practice?
I did mention your practice. I'm good at this. Better than you. That's why it's glitter. That's why it's glitter in the glitter gang, not Allele and a bunch of dumb people.
I mean, it kind of is. It just depends on how you look at it.
I can fire you whenever I want.
I can hit you with a sword whenever I want to, but I don't.
I removed the swords. Oh, wait.
How are practices going with the current weather?
So we do practice in every weather. During the winter, we usually have indoor practices. In Baraboo, they host it up at the school. In Cambridge, we usually host it at the London Community Center. But otherwise, when it's nice enough out, we will go outside and fight just on the grass in different parks and different like locations all around.
And our WASA practice is in a church basement currently.
Is your numbers growing?
Yeah. So Last Hope has averaged about 50 players per event, and our practices get up to about 22 players. Midland of Arcos has been steadily growing as well.
Yeah, we are usually around, for each event, we're around 30 to 40 players. Practices, it varies just based on who can come.
Last Hope, we tend to have a lot of seasonal numbers. We do play year-round, and some people are what I refer to as wusses, and they don't come out.
I thought you were going to say bitches.
Also bitches, but can I say bitches?
Can't swear on
we can't swear. We're on TV. What's TV?
Swear.
Okay. So they're big.
We're totally swearing.
So we have, so I mean, our players are all wonderful people, even if they choose not to come out when it's, except that one. So we do have numbers. They tend to dip a little bit in the winter, but we have as many as 80 people coming to our events, usually in the nicer times of the year.
The surprising thing is that, at least for us, usually our October event is our best event. And you'd think it would be in the summer, but apparently everybody likes the like spring and fall weather. That tends to be like the best time to go out and not too warm, not too cold. Oh, yeah.
I will say that sometimes I put on all these clothes and I walk through my apartment building and I get very strange looks from old people. But in October, they look at me and say, nice costume. I don't know what that means.
So do you ever run into issues like, okay, so someone joins the group or something and is being problematic, per se? How do you deal with that?
We hit them harder. No, I'm joking.
For an actual answer to that, we usually talk to the player and communicate with them. Hey, you're having these issues, and we try to coach and help them to be a better player.
I can see where LARPing, because you're acting out a lot of things and stuff like that, that theoretically it would be easy to go too far.
Yeah, so there is something that's in the LARP community in general and a lot of roleplay communities called bleed, which is there's bleed in and bleed out. So bleed in might be you have beef with somebody outside of the game and then your characters have unrelated beef in-game. And then there's bleed out, where I might go to an event one day and be a huge dick because that's a lot of fun. And then sometimes people might think, hey, that guy's a dick. So what we do after practices in every event is we go to what we call afters, where we all get together after we're done. We take off our garb and our makeup, and we all go out and we eat dinner together, and we talk about what happened in the event. It's a good chance for everybody to realize that we're all people outside of dicks.
Wait, why do you go to a restaurant and take off all your clothes?
Because we want to show people that while we have dicks, we are not dicks. So when they look at my entire body, they don't see giant balls near my feet.
Wow, you're saying that players who don't have dicks can't go to afters?
No, I'm saying players who don't have dicks, we're not worried about them being dicks because they don't have them in the first place.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah,
they're
answered my question.
Yeah.
Maybe different name, but
we're not going to go there. I don't know why they gave.
Seriously, I mean, gender doesn't matter. Sometimes people act inappropriately no matter what gender, you know? So
absolutely.
Absolutely fair. However, when we get together with each other after game, it lets us know that we're all people outside of everything. We have a saying in our games. We want to go out there and we want to kill each other's characters, but we don't want to hurt our friends. So we like to get together and remind each other that we're people. Put it in your mouth. It tastes good. Swallow it. The whole thing. How deep? How deep can you go? How deep can you go? How? Your mouth. I'd like to see it go in your mouth now. Let me see it.
Larry's forehead. Larry's forehead. Anyway.
I don't know why they gave me this microphone. They made mistakes. No, it's mine now.
All right, so I'm now doing the talking here. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Oh, that's great to hear. I'm glad you're doing great. Let me tell you, I'm really happy when everyone's happy and having a good time. It's usually a great thing. Like, are you having a good day here? I hope you're having it. Oh, you're doing great. That's great.
What brings you all here?
Beer.
We like free content.
Wait, you're not paying? Wait, you're not? Wait, are we not getting paid for this? Okay, hang on. We're done. They're not paying us.
The cameraman has
beer. All right.
It's inside him.
So if someone wants to join your ranks, I'll see they go about it.
Maybe. Hey, still my question, Lair.
Ask it.
Ask it again.
Hey, so
ask it.
Somebody's watching and says, I want to hang out with these people.
We're pretty cool.
Oh, you're
yeah,
say,
right?
Super nice. I like being friends.
You got Twitter? You got Twitter?
Yes, we have. So you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is @LastHopeLarp. And
for Midland of Arcos, we have a Facebook group. It is called Midland of Arcos LARP. And it's the same for our Instagram handle. It's @MidlandOfArcosLARP.
Yep. You can also find us at lasthopelarp.com, and we have all of our events as well as practice information and story information up there. Glitter, I will do a cut.
And our rule and Midland of Arcos's rule book, world information, and also events can also be found on our website, Shivter. That's SH. Is that first? Apparently, I'm wrong.
It's arcos.com. I have no idea what he's saying.
We also, at all of our events, at least all the Last Hope events and a lot of the Midlands events, have a professional photographer who comes around and takes pictures of everyone looking awesome, which is always a good time because then we get to have an ego boost to sit around and look at how great we look after we're done. Also, he has an uncanny ability to always catch me with a really dumb look on my face.
Do you guys, are you guys working on a story this weekend? Like, is there, so in years past, there was these different things where people were hiding things and doing different things. Is there a bit of a story arc going on this weekend?
Yes, so we actually just finished a module where we took a group of adventurers out into the convention and they found reagents, fought bandits, and helped to cure the corruption.
They fought Glitter and the Glitter Gang because they didn't like that we played Skull Ball, and I don't understand the problem. It was our skull. Why do they care if we throw it around and kick it?
You
they
smell
also
like
gave
stone.
Us a new ball back.
And we got another one
because
they killed our friend Jacob, so we took his skull and we play Skull Ball with that one now.
Jacob was super nice. I like Jacob.
So we are going to be running a module again tomorrow, and we'll be having demonstrations at 3 o'clock today and at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
That is awesome. Well, thank you guys. It's always super fascinating when you guys visit us at Guys Games of Beer.
Wait, I haven't got a chance to eat this one while it's hot. Can I do that? I want to hear what the inside of my mouth sounds like later. Now it's your turn. I want to watch you do it.
I don't.
How many more? How many more beers until you do it?
I'll do it now.
Okay, I'll watch. Hang on. This is going to be loud for a second. I'm going to clean it. I cleaned it off for you.
Second. Grossest mic. Wait.
Hang on, I want to commentate. Give me the other one.
All right.
All right, ready?
Here he goes. Let's count him down, everybody. Ready? Three, two, one. Deeper.
Ain't happening.
Oh.
It's all about the width. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a brand new one.
Try putting this one. This is brand new. How far can you put that one down your mouth?
Oh, that'll go out the other end.
Clearly.
I want to leave now.
Did we swap beers?
Oh, you're good. Mine. Thanks.
This is Glitter and the Glitter Gang, and we're signing off. It's been good seeing everybody here. You can catch us on our show, Glitter and the Glitter Gang, on whatever channel you're watching right now. We're taking over. Goodbye. It was good, guys, games, and beer, but you're done now. We're here now, Glitter and the Glitter Gang. Every day, every day, every day that we feel like being here, we'll be here. And good luck. Good luck in your new endeavors, and good luck with unemployment because it's our show.
Thank God I can finally retire.
We can swear, right?
Yes.
We can swear?
Yes.
Fuck.
Thank you so much for having us.
Fuck, you're welcome. Glad you guys stop it. It's always fun when you guys do.
Every year, the LARPers are out.